It's always a privilege to be able to minister the Lord's word, and it's a privilege for me to be here today as well. I want to share around a verse in Galatians that most of us would know as Galatians 5, verse 25. And it says the following: if we live in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. A very short and yet powerful verse. And I want us just to pray before we continue. Father, we thank you that we have this privilege to come to you today. Knowing you said, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are with us. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning, and we ask that you will speak your words into our hearts, Lord. Lord, we pray for your truth to become a revelation, rhema in us, Lord, and that it will change us to conform to it. Lord, we will humbly receive your word today that it may accomplish its purpose in us, which is to give us life. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Two powerful realities. The one is the fact that we have life through the Holy Spirit. And the other reality is that we are called to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Two different concepts, two very powerful concepts. The one speaks of the fact that we have life by the Spirit. It refers to the fact that that day when we gave our life to God, when we surrendered, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born again, we became a new creation by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have been filled with Him in from the inside that changes us to become this new creation in Christ. And so the Word of God says that if we live by the Spirit, we should also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, as we know, salvation is not just an event. It is actually a lifelong relationship with God. And so too, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When it says to keep in step with the Spirit, it's communicating movement. It's not something static. It's not something that happened 20 years ago when we were saved. God's word encourages us, those who live by the Spirit should also keep in step with the Spirit. And that refers to a movement of the Spirit. It's not something static that happened 20 years ago. It's something that continues. Our relationship with God and His purpose. The Holy Spirit is obviously moving somewhere. The Holy Spirit does not move aimlessly, but the Holy Spirit moves purposefully. So the Word of God encourages us. Salvation is not just an event, but it is a relationship with God who has a clear will for humanity and salvation. God has a clear will and purpose for humanity and eternity. And God is moving towards that, and He moves His people towards that goal. And we see in the metaphor of the Old Testament how God saved His people from Egypt and to move them to the promised land. And so we too are strangers in this world, just passing through to a clear destination, which is eternity with God. The Holy Spirit has been given with a purpose. And we who have life because of the Spirit are called to keep in step with Him. It's a very interesting word. I have a video clip here. We'll play it just now, hopefully. The Greek word for keep in step literally means a military parade. I don't know if you've ever been in the army. Who's been in the army? There's some guys being in the army. You remember when we marched? It's one of the first things they teach us. Maybe I can ask you, those who've been in the army, could you maybe come forward quickly? Now, do you still remember? I want to test you. I want to show you something. Those who've been in the army, quickly come here. Quickly. Come. It's long ago, I know, but it will come back to you. It's like riding a bike. Yeah. Now, let's face that way, because this is way too short. We're gonna march. We're going to march in twos, a little bit forward. Wacht eers. Kom ons dan so. There we go. Let's not makiri pas. No, that'll be difficult. Right. Let's make it easy. Let's be on intention already. Okay. Let's not do that. Now you will note the first command that is given is rig op die regterflank. Remember that. Yeah? Now before you do anything, I'm going to explain to them something. If you march, I was an NCO, I was a platoon sergeant, so I've done this lots of times. Yes. Ek was daai riller. Now the first command before you start to march is a very powerful concept. It says rig op die regterflank voorwaarts mars. In other words, you need to align yourself to the guy on the right. So everything in marching is about being in unity and in step. Now notice this. Rig op die regterflank, voorwaarts, mars. Links, rechts, links, rechts, links, rechts, links. Afdeling, om, keer. Links, rechts, links, rechts. See, they still get it. Let's give them a hand. Now, that's the concept. That's the same word used when it says keep in step with. The Greek literally mean marching in military rank. It says those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. I want us to just quickly look at some professionals marching. We're going to try and show you something. There we go. Let's see what this means. That's what it means to keep in step with. It's the same Greek word. It says those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. Do you see that? That's being in step with. An absolute unity. God says those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. You see that? That's being in step with. That's the Greek word. Thank you for that. Gives you the idea. Marching in military rank is a symbol of discipline, loyalty, and unity. It's interesting what God says in Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. You see, if you are led by someone, you are not the leader. You are the one who follow. If you are led, it means you are not the leader, but you are following. We who are led do not determine the direction or the destination. It requires an absolute surrender and trust in the leader. And so the Holy Spirit says to us through His Word that those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is moving in a direction and we need to move in the same direction. We cannot go in a different direction because we're no longer in step. And therefore we must be in the same direction moving as He moves. Rig op die regterflank, voorwaarts, mars. So it speaks about not just a life in, but a relationship with Him, an intimacy, a knowing of, and a keeping in step of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to share with you, what does this mean when God says to us, those who live by the Spirit, which is us here together, must also keep in step with the Spirit. What it means to be led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Keeping in step is not just moving in the same direction. It is a conformity in unity in movement. That's what makes military marching so powerful. It's not just a bunch of guys moving in the same direction, but they're moving in absolute unity. So how do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit?
The first thing is to know his purpose.
If you know his purpose, you will know which direction he's going. I think it's so important. The first step to be in step with the Holy Spirit is to know the direction in which he's going. Is he going this way? Remember, I told these guys we are going this way. The first important aspects of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit is to actually know whether he's going this way or whether he's going this way. And the way you know in which direction the Holy Spirit is going is to understand his purpose. If you understand his purpose, you will know in which direction you need to face. Where to look for the Holy Spirit, where to position yourself, because you first need to position yourself before you can be in step with him. The Holy Spirit came to reveal who God is. As a matter of fact, he came to reveal more of who God is. Christ came into the world to reveal who he is, but the Holy Spirit was sent to help us to understand him even better. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is called the helper, the one who comes alongside us. He was poured into our hearts, not just to seal our salvation. He was poured into our hearts that we may know him more. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to reveal who God is in us. He also came to change us, to become more like God, not just to help us to understand more who God is, but he came to change us to become more like Christ. It is the Holy Spirit within us that transforms us. Remember that powerful scripture in Corinthians, I don't have it here, but that says that as we behold him, Jesus, as in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The more we see Jesus, the more we are changed to become like Jesus, from one level of glory to the next, by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came not just to reveal who Jesus is, but to change us to become more like him. And the other purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to do God's will. And that's the gifts of the Spirit. First, to reveal who Christ is, then to transform us to become more like Christ. That is the fruit of the Spirit in us, the love, the joy, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. It transforms us to become more like Christ, and then he empowers us to do the will of Christ, the will of God, which is the gifts of the Spirit. And so if we understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we will know in which direction to face to move with him. He came to reveal more of who God is. He came to change us to become more like him. And he came to empower us to do the will of him. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's the direction in which he is moving. If you want to be in step with the Holy Spirit, start to move in his direction. The next step is to hear his voice. And how do we hear God's voice? Oh, there's many things that one can say, but today I'm only going to focus on one aspect. In John 10, verse 27, so powerfully God says, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again, this concept of God leading us, moving somewhere in a direction, and those who hear his voice that knows it will follow him. You see, to keep in step with God, you will always find when God speaks to us, he speaks about him moving and we are following. And so to keep in step with him, we first need to follow him. God speaks, we can hear, but we should follow. Again, it's helpful to know who God is. Who is God? And what is his purpose in my life? Or rather, what is my purpose in his life? Let's start there. We all have a life, a family, work, dreams, desires, and challenges and needs. And then we get saved.
And then we invite God into our life.
After all, we invited God into our lives, so we add Him to our lives.
To our life, our family, our work, our dreams, our desires. We get saved and then we add God to our life as we invite Him into our life and He becomes our BFF.
Yeah, my best friend forever. I learned it from my kids.
And now, God, that you're my BFF, my best friend forever, will you please do the following for me? Because you're now part of my life. I've invited you in, so will you help me with my family and my work and my dreams and my desires and my challenges and my needs? Because we are now best friends forever.
So then, after you've done all these things and everything is in place, then I can help you with what you want to do. Psalm 8 verse 3 to 4 says, when I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?
Psalm 144, it continues, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are even mindful of him? What is man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow.
It's very helpful to know who God is. In Psalm 46, we read, be still and know that I am God.
God, will you please come and help me with this and that? I've got this desire, this need, this challenge. God, now that you're part of my life, will you please do all these things for me? And the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God.
It's a powerful verse. It's a very short verse, and there's so much to be said about that. But it's so important for us to know He is God. And we are not. And what does that mean? What does this concept of God mean? As a matter of fact, it continues. Yeah, you can just. The reality of knowing who God is that He will be exalted and not I.
In our pursuit to hear God's voice, should we not first perhaps ask, God, what is your will? I mean, we all want to hear God's voice. And I think it's a very important question. We need to ask ourselves, why do we want to hear God's voice? Why do you want to hear God's voice? Is it because you have a decision to make? Is it because you have a need in your life? Is it because you have plans and you're not sure which one is the best for you? Why do we want to hear His voice? God says, be still and know that I am God. Should we not, in our pursuit to hear God's voice, rather ask Him, God, what is your will? And what is your desire for my life?
I'm not saying that we cannot ask God to direct us and to help us in our everyday needs. And we can. God loves us. And He cares for us. And He wants us to share our dreams and our hopes and our fears and our concerns with Him. But we must not forget who is God. And what it means to be God. He is God, and we are His creation. We were created for Him and not the other way around. In our pursuit of hearing God's voice, should we not first ask Him for His will before we ask Him for ours? Isn't that Jesus' life? We read in John 5, I can of myself do nothing.
As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And John 6, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Matthew 12 says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister. In John 15, verse 4, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Why do we want to hear God's voice? Why are we at times so desperate? Why are the most desperate times in our lives to hear the God's voice always about me? God, I have this decision to make. I have this plan. I have this opportunity. I have this need. And sometimes we struggle to hear God's voice because we ask the wrong questions. Maxwell, you know what that is? It's called radio silence. I was in the army for a long time. When you hear that, the first thing you do is you check the frequency, because most of the time you're just on the wrong frequency. That's why you don't hear anything. And sometimes we are asking God, where are you? Come in, God. Drie twee Charlie. Dit is drie twee Alpha. Kom in asseblief. Waar is jy? Hoekom praat jy nie met my nie? It's because you're not on the same frequency here. God is not a fool. We are not the center of the universe. He is. And sometimes we don't hear his voice because we ask the wrong questions. Sometimes we do not hear because our priorities are all wrong. Sometimes our motives are wrong. James 4 verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. God is not a fool. Why do you want to hear his voice? Is it for our will or is it for his will? I believe we often ask the wrong questions, going in the wrong direction. And so we've never learned to hear his voice. And when we really do need to hear his voice, we do not know how to distinguish his voice from our own thoughts and our own desires and our own pleasures. It's interesting how Jesus taught us to pray. Note the priority. In this manner, Matthew 6, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be honored. May your name be glorified. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is on heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I was just reading that in my quiet time a while ago, and I realized there is no me in this. There is no I in this either. It's first God and then us. I'm not even in there. Why do we want to hear his voice? Is it for our kingdom? Or is it for his kingdom? My will or his will? And so we tend to ask God to do things for us instead of listening. What do you think would God say if he was here this morning If Jesus were the preacher today, if Jesus was preaching to us today, what do you think would Jesus say? What do you think would Jesus be preaching? Would he be sharing with us God's will? Will he be sharing out of the Word of God? Or do you think he would be sharing our needs and our desires about the car we need to buy and the house we need to live in and the work we need to take? Do you think Jesus would be preaching about what we want? Or do you think Jesus would be preaching what God wants? Would he be quoting from Scripture or would he be telling a story from a book? What would Jesus, how would Jesus minister? What would Jesus say if he was here today? If Jesus was speaking, would it be about his will or would it be about our will? Or would he even be saying something new? It's very interesting. John 14 verse 26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. You know, I have realized that the most important things that God wanted to say to me, he has already said. As a matter of fact, the most important things that God wants to say to all of us, he has already said. And so many times, we struggle to hear God's voice, but we are not willing to listen to what God has already said. As a matter of fact, this will keep me busy for the rest of my lifetime. And so many people struggle. They want to hear God's voice. They're desperate to hear God's voice, but they're not willing to listen to what God has already said. And they're so confused why God doesn't speak to them. And I'm sometimes thinking, but God has already spoken. You are not just listening. You want God to say something new. You will be amazed how many people see me on a weekly basis. They know what the Word of God says, but they come to me and they want me to say something different. They'll even quote to me Scripture in their decisions that they need to make, and then they want me to say something different because they don't want to do that. So they want a different interpretation. And so I've learned, even in my own life, if I'm not willing to listen to what God has already said, why must He say anything new to me? Somebody once gave me this counsel, and it was wise counsel. If you cannot hear His voice anymore, if all of a sudden it is like silent, like your prayers are into the roof and there's no answer, go back to the place of your last obedience. When was the last time God did speak to you? What was that? Do that. That's amazing. Then He speaks again. Why do we want to hear His voice? Is it because we have a will, or is it because we want to know His will? It's interesting when we start to ask Him His will, how much He does speak to us. In Hebrews 1, we read something powerful. From verse 1, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. I don't know if you've realized that we live in the last days. He says in times past, long time ago, in various ways, at various times, He's spoken to us through the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And then it continues to explain how great Jesus is, far superior than all the angels and all the prophets and everything that's ever been before. And then after that entire chapter of explaining who Jesus is, it starts with chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. You know what's the saddest thing today? People travel all over the world to hear the prophet speak. They go from here to America and from here to deep Africa to hear the prophet speak. But God says in the last days, in times past, oh, I have spoken through my prophet. And I'm not saying that God doesn't speak through the prophetic. I'm not saying that God doesn't have prophets in this last days and that God doesn't speak through the prophet. No, but what I am saying is God is saying in the last days, I have spoken through my son, and therefore you must stay careful. You must be careful. Pay very close attention to what he has said, what you have heard past tense, lest you drift away. And I have found that Christians don't backslide suddenly. Christians don't get deceived suddenly. No, Christians drift away. We drift away after the new things and the different things. And we are not applying what is already said. That's how Christians drift away. And before you know it, they believe these weirdest things. God is asking us this morning, why do you want to hear my voice? If you're not willing to listen to what I've already said, why must I say something new? I've realized the most important things God has already said. God's word does not change. It never will. I've discovered over the years the best way to learn to hear God's voice is to start with what he has already said. And say, God, help me to understand this. God, give me revelation. Oh, and most of the time, I have it the first time I read it, because it's not that complicated. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is challenging. And then I stop there and I say, Lord, speak to me. Give me understanding. What does this mean when you said the following? How do I apply this, Lord? Help me, God. Give me the strength by your grace. Change me so that I can do what you have said. And it's amazing from that place how often God speaks to me. How I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, this is what it means. This is what you need to do. Don't do that. Do this. That's good. That's not. I have learned to hear God's voice not by asking him whether I should go to P or Cape Town, but by asking him to change me, to help me to control my tongue. And then all of a sudden, every day as I pray and I ask him, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are my mentor. I hear you say that I must control my tongue. Lord, help me to do this. I struggle. What does this mean? Help me, God. It is out of control. And then as I pray this every morning, every time I speak, I hear him speak. Don't say that. Hold your mouth. You shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Lord. I've learned God speaks to us all the time. If we were just to listen. If we were just in the right frequency. If we were just moving in the same direction. Getting in step with him. Why did you come? You come to reveal who God is, to change me and to empower me to do your will. So God, let me keep in step with you. And it is amazing how often and how clear God speaks if we only want to align ourselves with him. It's amazing when you ask God to help you to do what he has already said, how often he speaks, and you will see, experience, and hear how he speaks to you in your life, your family, your work, your dreams, your desires, your challenges, everything you face, because he speaks all the time. So if you really want to hear God's voice, move in the same direction. Start with what he has already said. And ask him to help you to apply that in your life. And then listen. Listen. You will hear his voice. I'm going to end off with John 10, verse 27.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God speaks to us all the time. We can hear his voice. Start by following him. Move in the same direction and keep in step with him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you loved us so much. You gave your son to die for us so that what hindered us from knowing you could be taken away from us, our sin. You placed it upon him and you punished him so that we can be free, not to do whatever we want, but free to come into your presence. When the holiest of holies, when the curtain was torn, the access was open for us to come into your presence without fear, without condemnation, without a mediator. We can come to you and know you personally. Oh God, thank you for this great privilege. And after you've accomplished all this, Jesus, you went back to the Father, but you told your disciples, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do, I will ask the Father to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will live within you. And he will teach you, show you all things, and bring to remembrance everything that I have commanded you. Lord, thank you that you did not leave us as orphans, but you are with us, so that we can keep in step with your purpose and your will, so that we can see your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven, so too on earth. God, I pray that we will approach you as God and humble ourselves to follow you wherever you lead us. And you say, I call you my friends when you do. And Lord, so I pray that each and every one of us will make a decision afresh and new, that we will align ourselves with you, that we will dare to ask you, God, speak to me about your will. Thank you that I can come to you, Lord, with my concerns and my needs. Thank you that I know that you already know them even before I ask you. Therefore, you encourage us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and all these things that you know that we need. You will add them to it. And God, so we want to ask you this morning, God, we want to ask you to change the direction of our hearts and our minds to align with you, that we might ask you, God, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want me to do today? And Lord, so we ask you that you will come and speak to us as we listen to what you've already said, and we ask you to make it clear to us so that we can keep in step with you, and grant us to hear you speak every day as you lead us into your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask that you must just for a moment just respond to God, just where you're seated. And I'm going to ask the band to come up and just end off for us, but I want us just to sit where we're at and just speak to the Lord in your own words. Just respond to him. What stood out for you this morning, and how are you going to respond to God's word? Thank you. just feel for some of us here that are struggling to hear His voice, God is saying, listen to what I've already said. I believe there's some of us here today that have a need to hear from the prophets. But God is saying, I've already spoken. Pay closer attention to what I've already said and you will hear. If you are here this morning and you are struggling to hear His voice, I want to encourage you. Go back to what is already said. And for some of us, we need to ask God, God, speak to me. Not concerning my problems, but your desire. Some of us need to realign our lives. We are going in the wrong direction. God is calling us back, saying, come, my son, my daughter, this is the way. This is the purpose of life. It's not your wealth. It's not your comfort. You will find your wealth and your comfort in me. You won't find it in the world. So Father, I pray for each and every heart here today, Lord. I pray for each and every person that is responding to you. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that even right now, Lord, that you will woo them back to you and your way and your direction. I thank you, God, that you will speak to them as they come in line with you. You will speak to them through your word, through your spirit. You will confirm it through the prophetic. Lord, you will confirm it through dreams and visions. Lord, you will confirm it through angels and your presence. God, as we keep in step with you, you speak to us. God, we want to be like that army that does not go everyone in their own direction, in their own way. But we want together to move with you in unity, in absolute obedience and surrender to your way, your will, and your kingdom. Oh God, may we become a movement that others notice, not because we are special as individuals, but together we form something that is so powerful, so loud, so clear. Together we become your body that moves together. Even though we're different, together we move, and you may receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.